Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here. Let me introduce the other people who are here this morning, and then we'll get to the business at hand. Joining me for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok.
Hello,
good morning,
Joseph.
Sir.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you.
No, good morning to you.
Political consultant Libby Post joins us. How are you?
I am great.
All right.
I'm very happy.
You're now in physical therapy?
That's right.
You doing good?
It's great. I started yesterday. It's made a world of difference already.
Excellent. Will we see the difference this morning? Will we hear the difference this morning as a panelist in this program? Will it help you in that regard?
Yes, because I'm not in pain.
Ah. Oh, that's good.
Well, and I can do my PT.
well
just wait.
That.
I know. But I can do my PT while I sit here. Because all I have to do is move my foot around. It's great. But I have to count. So.
Oh, all right. Well, yes. That's why God gave you fingers.
Right.
Ray Graff is here as well. You're not in pain, are you?
Well,
not yet.
every time he gets around me, he's in pain.
All right. Good morning, all, and welcome again. My invitation for you to join us, it's WAMC.org/roundtable, or go to WAMC.org/roundtable, and you can be a part of our conversation, and we really hope that you do, because we love hearing from you. So let's talk about the news of the moment, and that is that President Obama is said to pick Ashton Carter, a physicist and ex-deputy, as the defense secretary. The comments are already rolling in as far as from all sides as to whether this is a good or a bad pick. And we know quite a bit about this gentleman, I must say, because of his experience and because he has been around. A former deputy defense secretary, a long history at the Pentagon, helped accelerate the production and shipment of weaponry and armored vehicles to protect American troops from roadside bombs during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So is this a good pick to replace Chuck Hagel? And B, will this be an easy pick to get through what it's got to get through?
Well, let's put it this way. It'll be an easier pick to get through than if he picked a political type. The Republicans don't like the Hegelian. Isn't that a good?
Yeah,
I like that.
Very good.
I think you would get points for that.
We political scientists, Hegel and Marx standing on his head. Anyway, you have to be there to understand all of that.
Yes,
but in fact, it's not going to be a political sideshow. So it's a good thing. You said it, we know a lot about him. We do, Joe. You're absolutely right. On the other hand, nobody knows him. So he's what we call a classic who-he. He's a technocrat. One of the things that was interesting in the Times write-up, is the fact that so many Republicans are already checking in and saying, yeah, this is a good guy, and he won't have any trouble getting through. Nevertheless, they'll put him before the various committees and relevant committees and ask questions that are bound to embarrass, the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. But the other interesting thing was that apparently all of the major contenders, except for him, turned it down. They all said they don't want it. It's 2 years. It's a lame duck administration. You know that it's going to be horrendous with the Republicans in the Senate. And he said he would do it. He sounds like the perfect guy.
So does that mean that in just the way you described it, and also in reading the article, it seems like you're then taking one for the team.
Well, no, I mean, I think Joe, I think
somebody has to do.
Well, I think in this place, you don't take one for the team as much as he's 60 years old. On your tombstone, it's going to say former Secretary of Defense. People do this because it puts them in the right place. Or as Aunt Ruth used to say all the time, he'll take his tour. And as a result of that, he'll be worth even more, on the open market. So I think one of the reasons, Joe, that that the Republicans are not objecting to him is that he is not, basically a Democratic team player. And that's going to be tough on the president if in fact they have their falling out. Then what does the president do? Say, you have to go too within 2 years?
I also don't think he's a political player on either side. Yeah. I think he's a Renaissance man. When you read his
physicist.
The physicist, but I love the senior thesis at Yale was on the use of Latin by monastic writers to describe the world of 12th century Flanders. This is a man who who wants to amass experiences in his life, and it just adds to the totality of who he is as a person.
Oh, really?
And it's not about the politics.
You know what? He was the number two guy there already.
You like that?
For a couple of years. Oh. So he has some Republican support. I would suspect the Republicans.
And he's been confirmed, as you say, before. So it's not as if, you know, this is going to be unknown territory.
A new thing. Yeah.
And I would say if the Republicans are going to fight the Obama administration on things, this will be one that they don't fight on. So they show, well, we can get along. We can do something. And this is relatively non-controversial. He'll be in.
You make a point.
Yeah. Why shouldn't they?
And you look at, all right, now for the second part of this, we've been talking about the political part of it, but you think he'll do a good job? I mean, he's got a really tough job.
He does have a really tough job, but, you know, who ever does a really good job in any of these situations, we don't know until history writes the story 10 years later, because everything is skewed by the lens of the media moment. And so, you
10
know,
years isn't even enough.
Yeah, he's got a $500 billion budget cut to make. And that's a lot of money, leaving the military with $100 billion left, which isn't chump change, but still. It's going to be an interesting thing to see how he manages to balance all the various parties at play within a Defense Department and the outside players in terms of contractors.
Yeah, that's true. However, not to engage in gross generalizations.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. I would suggest to you that to some degree, the way that our politics works is that Republicans support defense expenditures.
Absolutely.
You know, so he's got something to play with here. In
yes.
other words, they're going to be fighting for his side, the Republicans in the Senate and the House, to add more to the defense budget.
While cutting taxes and running up a deficit.
While not allowing people who have food stamps to have them.
Right. Cutting entitlements. Or not entitlements, cutting basic needs funding.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and talk about other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can also go to our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. And I'll say it slowly, because we get chastised at the fund drive for doing this. Mm-hmm. WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll be back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Godfrey Financial Associates, Latham, New York. For nearly 20 years, providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond, independent, woman-owned financial firm, GodfreyFinancial.com. Binghamton University, with their Smart Energy Research and Development Facility, helping to create green energy jobs, Binghamton.edu. And Tierra Farm Retail Stores, Madison Avenue, Albany, and Route 203, Valencia, New York. Organic nuts, dried fruit, fair trade coffee, chocolate, granola, nut butters, and gift baskets, TierraFarm.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our conversation, Libby Post. Alan Chartok and Ray Graff are here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And Alan, you have any letters or do you want me to go to?
Well, unfortunately, you know, when we talk about something interesting like this dopey person who talked about the kids, the Obama kids, mm-hmm. we get 1,000 letters.
Mm-hmm.
But today,
we'll
speaking about
Latin
the defense, the gazillion
century
dollars
century
we spent on defense, yeah. we haven't had any.
Right.
Oh,
well. Okay. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's, sociologically, I mean, least.
Sociologically, that's
yes.
very interesting.
Okay.
Well, we can keep the show snappy. Keep it moving along.
Okay, great. So let's snap into this subject. House Republicans ready plan to avoid a government shutdown. We talked about this yesterday, so now we have some more details. According to the New York Times, House Republicans made progress on Tuesday, steering some of their most conservative members away from a course that could shut down the government next week, a prospect that would badly damage the party as it prepares to take control in January of Congress. Though the outcome remained unpredictable, Speaker John Boehner and his deputies were already counting votes for a two-part plan that they presented in a closed-door meeting in the Capitol. Alan, this is pretty much exactly what you said yesterday. They're not going to shut the government down. They've learned from history. So what is the compromise here, do you think?
Well, you know, what the last thing that the speaker wants to do is pull a traditional Boehner. Just look up the way it's spelled, because the last thing you want to do is to create the impression around the country that that you're willing to shut down the government. As I said yesterday, Newt Gingrich tried it, and that was the end of Newt. It was over as a result of that. So what they're doing is this, as you say, this two-part thing, one of which will be a CR or continuing resolution about the, as I understand it, the immigration authorities that are basically self-funded, so that it will give the right a chance to register their displeasure, and the rest of it they're going to try to do a budget.
Libby, what do you make?
Well, I think they finally realize that they can't play around anymore. It's the better way of putting it, all the other words that were going through my head. But that they've got to do something. They're now in control of both houses. And if they don't get something done, they'll be the laughingstock, because they're going to be fighting amongst themselves, which they're going to be doing anyway.
But, Libby, I don't know that they won't blame it on the president anyway. If both houses can't...
Sure, they'll blame everything on Obama.
Can't come together.
Sure, absolutely. But the people will see through that after a while, because they do control both houses. And so...
Not yet. They
promised, well, by January 1st, but they promised, give us the control and we'll get something done. Well, now they've got to get something done.
Well, now they're going to say, but we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. We don't have the requisite 60 votes in order to... You know, to have a veto-proof,
filibuster-proof. Get something done.
Well, yeah, it's easy enough for you to say.
Mm-hmm. And it should be easy enough for them to get done, because now they'll have to really start work in a bipartisan way, and which is what the
really?
People expect.
What do you think, Ray?
Just going with the flow. I think that the first 2 years of the Obama presidency, not a lot got done when he had both houses of Congress, so I don't expect much will get done now when he has no houses of Congress.
I get it. That's a good contribution.
Let's.
What do you think, Joe?
Wow, are we that?
Is it that bad?
I thought we were okay.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay. Right. I agree with Ray. We get to be snappy this morning. That's good. All right. So, by the way, just a reminder, we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. WAMC.org.
Right. /roundtable.
/roundtable. And if you post them, then Libby has her website
iPad.
Right up, right. And is ready to go. So she can see exactly what you've written. Alan, do you have any letters?
Yes. We heard from our friend Vin, who says, it's estimated that U.S. corporations have $8 trillion stashed in overseas accounts, and that the lost tax revenue would generate $250 billion a year. Since the military is often called upon to protect those assets, doesn't it make sense to get them to pay up? I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
They should be paying up.
Assuming that your facts are right. Because when somebody says it's estimated that U.S. corporations, that's different than, you know, a straight-out declarative sentence.
I think it's assumed.
With a beginning,
estimated.
A middle, and an end.
Yes,
you know,
I think it's
it
an
is.
Assumption.
Yeah. Okay. And let's see. Oh, yeah. That's not. And Michael says, can you discuss how the official report on Benghazi was buried, being released on the Friday after Thanksgiving? It seems that the media is almost complicit in burying the report, seemingly have forgotten about this by Monday. Oh boy, I think I shouldn't have read this, because we're part of the media. And why would I read
a
letter?
My understanding was that it was, first of all, we talked about it on this program.
We did.
And also, I don't believe that it was released the day after Thanksgiving. I believe it was released before that, correct? I'm looking that information up, but my memory tells me that it was like a week and a half ago, well before the holiday.
Wow.
But I think there is a point there that it was, it did not certainly have a media splash. But isn't that unlike right, where the you hear all about the charges against this this teacher in the community, and then when we find out that they're bogus and there's nothing to them, that you don't really hear anything after that to let the poor guy off the hook.
That's very insightful. I mean, you know, there was a cartoon in one of the papers. It showed Surgeon Boehner trying to revive a dead patient. And the name on the dead patient was Benghazi. You know, just try to keep this thing
Lindsey
going.
Graham came out and attacked the report, saying it was crap. That was his quote. Mm-hmm. You know, but nobody wants to hear this anymore. It's over. It's done with. What's the use of rehashing this? Everybody has said from the beginning that no one was at fault here. And now the Republicans are saying it. And that's it. Let's move on.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think what's happened is it is over. On the other hand, there's always somebody to criticize. You can criticize Hillary Clinton and say she should have had more, you know, people around. And Ray, I know you wanted to say something.
No, we have
clock.
Yes. Yeah. And that clock tells us, well.
That clock tells us what?
That clock tells us that we have to go to a break.
We'll
be back.
Oh, boy.
Okay. WAMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Let me reintroduce the folks to you this morning and introduce Alan Chartok, who really needs no introduction, but there you go.
Hello, and thank you for that.
Yes. Ray Graff.
Hello.
You want me to introduce you?
No, thank you for that.
Okay. And and Libby Post, who we missed earlier this week, is with us today. And thank you very much for being here.
I'm doing my Ray Graff imitation.
Oh, okay.
People say I look like the dirty old man from Artie Johnson.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Laughing as I shuffle around town. So there you go.
Okay, excellent.
Well, the physical therapy will take care of that.
Yes.
Welcome back to the program. A reminder, you can join us roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, where you get can write to us directly, or you can post your comments so we all can see at WAMC.org/roundtable, where we get comments like this.
Why do we always say President Obama has not accomplished anything? Doesn't Obamacare count, or that he has at least tried to cut back on our warring? And that's from Anna. Nice. And then let's see here.
Don't hyperventilate. Just relax.
Let's see. Why is there dead silence on the claim Obama has 3 years of both houses, no mention of conditions or threats of shutdowns? And let's see here. This is very confusing for me. Very, very confusing.
Going back and forth between platforms.
Yes.
And Doug says... what is distressing to me is the example set by politicians are most public profession other than entertainers and sports figures. Their vindictive, uncooperative behavior is a bad example for kids and other professionals, and I am concerned it is shaping how we behave in business and personal relationships. Is civic, respectful discourse in politics truly dead? There's an assumption there that it ever wasn't. Ever wasn't this thus. You can go back to, you know, Thomas Jefferson, and you will see some of the most scurrilous invective that has ever been issued between warring parties at that point. And Julius says, billions for defense, but not one penny for we the people. Ray, did you want to comment on that one?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
No, you read them.
Okay, you read them. Good. And then I truly believe that the conservative Republicans have no desire to shut down the American government as much as they desire to shake down the American populace. And that is from Jay. All right. And I think, Joe, do you see anything else?
I've got a few more.
Okay.
From Bart, Jonathan, James, and Richard.
Huh. Well, those haven't arrived on my machine. Oh, there they are. Here they are now.
Oh, they've just arrived.
Well, actually, it's an eye problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that's right.
So says Bard. I heard the request that no emails were in, so I got up and walked across the room. Here's the query. How did the food stamp program and such get framed with the word entitlements? I think it's an unfortunate appellation and misses the point. And by the way, Bard, I know that Libby used it, but she quickly corrected herself on that. You didn't say entitlements. You said...
necessary
yes,
funding to live.
Yes, yes. And Jonathan, at the end of your segment on defense spending, Libby mentioned cuts to entitlements, but then quickly to change it to cuts to basic needs spending. Is there a difference between the two? Was this just a branding issue, like calling oneself a progressive instead of a liberal?
It's a framing issue. It is a branding issue. The Republicans frame this as an entitlement, which makes it seem like the folks who need this feel that they're entitled to get it. And the fact of the matter is, the folks who need this, these life-saving funds, need them to be able to live a day-to-day existence in this country, to feed their kids, to be able to have some decent health care.
James says, I don't like how we spend more money on military than the next 23 countries. Don't quote me. Now you tell me. But I know it's in the 20s. And the majority of those countries are our allies. And IDK, the percentage of the total spending is, but some of that is sent to other countries like Israel to bomb Gaza, just to then spend more money to rebuild Gaza. And Richard says, nothing will change with this election, the Secretary of Defense. Obama has a small circle that he listens to. We will end up with 16 years of two administrations of bad policies. And that, I believe, is it, Joe.
I believe it is as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go on to other issues, and that includes the crime rate in New York City, an interesting article in the New York Times this morning. hold on. There we go. Mayor Bill de Blasio said on Tuesday that a city his opponents once said would grow more dangerous under his watch had, in fact, become safer. Robberies, considered the most telling indicator of street crime, are down 14% across New York City from last year. Grand larcenies, including the thefts of Apple devices that officials said drove an overall crime increase 2 years ago, are also down by roughly 3%. After a record low, I'm glad we got a handle on the Apple crime.
Yeah, I found that fascinating that that's what they focused on.
After a record first low, 335 homicides in 2013, the city has seen 290 killings in the first 11 months of the year, a number unheard of 2 decades
ago.
Well,
we've got 29 days to catch up.
Well, and the other thing that's so interesting about this report is that because we have said cut it out on the marijuana arrests, there have been many, many more. Now, if that goes into the 14%, Joe, I don't know if it does, but if that goes into the 14%, that goes a long way to understanding what's happening here.
The other thing that I found interesting is that they've really decreased the stop and frisk stuff. I mean, the numbers have gone. They said there were 50,000 by the end of this year, down from a high of 685,000 stop and frisks in 2011. And yet, crime is still decreasing.
And the other thing that should be mentioned is that crime is decreasing all around the country.
Well, I was going to.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I was going to ask that because to be devil's advocate, not to be a cynical journalist, but if you know you are going in with this aura, if you will, of somebody who's not going to be tough on crime, and then your chances are you're going to do whatever you can. I guess my question is, how much can you manipulate the numbers to make it, you know, to make it look good?
Well, you know, I think you can manipulate a little bit, but, you know, statistics are statistics. Now, we know that you can lie with them, but I think that the general sense of the country is that crime is going down all over. And therefore, you know, it behooves you as a politician like de Blasio. Look, I have a very good friend who stays with some friends on the west side of Manhattan. And they said to him, you know, we have deep suspicions about de Blasio. And if the crime rate goes up, he will be a one-term mayor. He knows that. I know it's the mm-hmm. number one thing on everybody's, bucket list in terms of whether or not he does his job as mayor. So therefore, he's going to take that credit, whether he deserves it or not. And frankly, so would any other politician.
I find it interesting that crime across the country is going down, and I wonder what the indicators are and why that's happening. And especially in urban areas where crime within communities are the highest incidences of those crimes. And so perhaps there's a recognition that we need to treat each other better as human beings as we all struggle on this planet with a shrinking carbon footprint. You know what I mean? It's very interesting that crime is down. What is it that has created that when the gun advocates are out there saying we all need to be able to carry guns? You know, and
there's somebody running for the phone right now to say that's because we have the guns.
Yeah, right. I'm sure.
That's why the crime is down.
Yeah, right. And so there's, all of this, there are these horrible mass shootings and these horrible situations. But it's interesting, and I have no idea why crime across the country has decreased.
Don't look at me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Let's take a break. We will come back. We'll get to more letters, and then we'll go on to the remaining topics for today. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from 10,000 Villages, offering home decor and handcrafted gifts with locations in Albany, Burlington, Northampton, New Haven, New Canaan, South Windsor, and West Hartford, 10,000villages.com. And Bread and Honey, a neighborhood bakery and cafe featuring bagels, breakfast sandwiches, paninis, and soups daily, farm market breads on Saturday and Sunday, open 7 days, 809 Madison Avenue in Albany, 518-567-7158.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue along with Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Libby Post. We welcome your comments, WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable. And Alan, we have letters.
Okay. There is one from Grace who says, 4 State Department security officials lost their jobs over Benghazi. This was a recommendation of the investigation by Admiral Mullen and Ambassador Pickering. This investigation is honest and competent. It absolved all other officials of wrongdoing, a fact which Republicans cannot accept. They continue to spend millions on sham investigations. And Rich says, yet in New York State, you have State Senator Bill Larkin, a Republican in that office, since 1990, saying crime is going up and directing money to police. Police do not need the federal hardware that the military does not need. And Ryan says, I think that people caring about each other is part of it. But another factor here is that poor urban women who can't afford kids have a choice to not have them. Imagine that. In areas where people grow up to become criminals because their parents weren't prepared to be parents, people are having less kids because of contraception and abortions, and now crime is down. The two are connected, as awful as that sounds, since no one really likes abortion. And Grace says, no, we did that. And Olaf says, Democrats have never had control of both houses since President Obama was elected. They might have had the majority in numbers, but the Republicans always control the Senate through aggressive use of the archaic rules of the Senate and a tremendous dose of chutzpah. By the way, Olaf, that is true not only of the Republicans, but the Democrats, too. I have to be fair about that. The Democrats, of course, mm-hmm. Have used all of those. And so what happens is when the teams switch sides, you get everybody
screams.
Yelling the other
yeah.
way.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And F says, will anyone in Congress consider raising taxes on the wealthy? No. A tax of less than 15% on such massive incomes encourages further greediness and abuse of power. The wealthy have progressive tax rates before. Would it really hurt them or the country? Well, you know your own answer on that one. Gary says America isn't spending trillions on defense. Consider we have 900 bases in more than 150 countries. It seems we're spending trillions on offense. Uh-huh. panel. In the Ferguson grand jury minutes, the medical examiner testified, quote, "Anytime I'm involved in an officer-involved shooting, be it a fatal one or non-fatal, is always during my initial investigation listed as an assault on law enforcement." Hmm. Question, "Who was your victim name on these packages?" Answer, "Officer Wilson." It appears that Wilson, as victim, was never the subject of the trial. Why was this never discussed? And I guess that's what I got.
All right.
Go.
Did you go back to the top there?
No, I didn't. I say, okay, whoa. Jeremy says, John Boehner and the Republicans in the House may be able to keep the government up and running. It's pathetic that this qualifies as an achievement. I can't wait to see the great things they achieve when Republicans have control of the Senate. And that's what I got, Joe.
All right. Let's go on to other topics and see what you all make of these. Let's talk about Ebola for a little bit, because we have not discussed this topic in a little while. Mm-hmm. And so the president yesterday has urged Congress to renewed his call for Congress to approve $6 billion in emergency aid to fight the deadly Ebola outbreak in West Africa. The BBC reports the president made the plea on a visit to the National Institutes of Health, where he congratulated scientists on work towards a vaccine. The WHO says 6,055 people have died in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. The medical charity MSF has again strongly criticized the international response. It described it as patchy and slow, with the job of tackling the crisis largely left to doctors, nurses, and charity organizations. So that is one aspect of it. Also, there was the Washington Post article, and I'll put these two together, yesterday, that said U.S. officials have designated 35 hospitals around the country to care for Ebola patients. That's part of the administration's efforts in the past 2 months to improve domestic preparedness to cope with a deadly virus that has ravaged West Africa. The hospitals were chosen by state health officials and hospital executives and assessed by infection control teams from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to make sure that they have adequate staff, equipment, training, and resources to provide the extensive treatment necessary to care for an Ebola patient.
Hmm. Well, I mean, look, I was thinking about this on the way over here this morning. If you're a politician and you're in office, it is in your interest to over-prepare, because you can ward off the criticism by having said you did your best and you've done this, had this program, as opposed to, God forbid, it takes off and people start to infect each other. And soon enough, who lost China becomes the question. Who was responsible for this? So, I mean, we see it in New York with Governor Cuomo. We see it in the president's actions in terms of, you know, the rest of the country and preparing. And if it doesn't happen, do you think anybody is going to say, oh, you see, he was alarmist and he did more than he had to? No, they won't. That's all I have to say on this.
It makes no sense for Congress to play politics with Ebola. Get the money, do what needs to be done, stop the spread in Africa, make sure we have the infrastructure at home to deal with it. You know, we've only had a handful of cases here, and it became hysterebola big time for that month or so. It was just totally insane, given that, what, two people in this country died from Ebola, where a number of were infected, compared to the scores that are dying in West Africa. We've put things into place, but now it's up to Congress. And if the Republicans say they want to get something done, then do this and do not play politics with health, especially a world health crisis that something like this could turn into.
And what do you think the politics of this might be? That Republicans will care about what happens in this country if Americans die, but maybe not in Africa?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. They don't care what happens in West Africa. All you need to do, and I know some people are going to get their hackles up, is look at the skin color of the people over there, and they're not going to care. That's part of the issue here. When the guy in Texas who died was a person of color without insurance, they turned him away. Okay, if they...
Who, the Republicans?
No, the hospital in Texas.
Well, the okay? race question is a fair one.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, the state is run by the Republicans in Texas, and they would like to secede, and I would
encourage it.
Encourage it, absolutely. But the people in West Africa are the other. And we need to stop seeing those folks as the other and seeing them as part of us, as part of the world community. Because if Ebola is not checked, I guarantee you it will continue to spread in the various ways that it has. We saw this with AIDS. We saw what happened. Gays were seen as others, as the other. People of color in this country are seen as the other. They're the ones who are mostly being infected with HIV these days. The Republicans have to stop playing politics with this.
We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. For over 30% in the U.S., erratic pay strains finances. The Federal Reserve says that more than 30% of Americans report irregular incomes that sabotage efforts to budget and save. Unreliable work hours are cited most often. This is using data from a report from 2013 that the Federal Reserve is using, suggesting that the problem has not only persisted as the economy recovered, but may have even worsened. More than 30% of Americans reported spikes and dips in their incomes. Among that group, 42% cited an irregular work schedule. An additional 27% blamed a span of joblessness or seasonal work. So the mantra that we hear over and over and over again is save, 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 save. And that's really tough
hard
to do when you may be making money this month but making nothing next month.
Yeah, and I think it raises the other issue that a lot of people are talking about, and that is jobs are coming back. A lot of people are having jobs, but they are not getting more money for those jobs. There's not a raise in
nor are they getting benefits in
their income. And that's right. And there does seem to have been a concentrated idea that nobody's getting benefits. The idea of defined pensions, for example, mm-hmm. is something of the past. It's gone. And so now, you know, people have to deal with the exigencies of life. I mean, you know, I know a guy who lives close by who just had to replace four tires, you know, on his car because they were no good. And that was almost $800. Mm-hmm. Somebody else that I know very well just had a gigantic tree come down.
Oh, really?
Do you have any idea what it cost?
$1,500
yeah,
to $2,000.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely, for a tree.
Yes.
And so so what happens is that these are all, as Joe is referring to, the unexpected things. You take your dog, Joe has been through this, to the vet, and it's complicated. You know, now we're talking thousands of dollars.
They
just go buy good dog food. Of course,
they swipe your card in those emergency clinics. They swipe your card, and then it's
before.
Like right, and then it's like the cab where you just the meter starts rolling, and right. They're like, well, do you want the fluids? Well, does he need the fluids? Well, yeah, he may die without the. All right, well, give me the fluids, and then you just see the meter starting to run.
Right. Now here's the thing, I'm not pleading poverty because I'm not. I do think that when you have absolutely budgeted on a basis that there can be no extras, that's when you really get into trouble. And I think, Joe, that's exactly what your report is indicating to us.
Well, absolutely. And also, I mean, I think one of the things about this report that are troubling is that we still seem to have this mentality that that people are involved in a 401k or a 403b or some sort of retirement plan. And we also, I mean, obviously pensions are long gone, and that there is some sort of net. And still, when you hear the average financial planner say, what is it, a month and a half that you should have mm-hmm. saved in case of an emergency? Well, okay, but if you can't even pay your light bill, how do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and then there are people who rail against living wage and raising the minimum wage and all those kinds of things. And what do they expect? Where do they expect? And then they want to cut taxes and cut what they consider to be entitlements. Well, the people that you're not paying a decent wage to, we're going to end up needing food stamps. So you're going to just have people on the street. This is going to be, you know, we're going to have a repeat of the Great Depression, where the lines at the soup kitchens are going to be even longer and longer because the wealthy do not want to share their wealth. And
wait until the market crashes again, Libby, well, and then you'll see.
Well, and then, and as Alan says repeatedly and correctly, the middle class, how does it vote? Does it vote with the people below or the people above? They aspire to be with the people above, and they ignore the people below.
Yeah, it is a classic sort of pincer movement for the middle class. When things get bad enough, Ray, as you just referenced, when things get bad enough for the middle class, then all of a sudden, you know, social programs become much more important.
Well, don't touch my Medicare, right?
Yeah.
I don't want Obamacare, but don't touch my Medicare.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Medicare is the best thing that ever happened to this country.
Well, by the way, I had James Barber on yesterday from the Albany Medical Center, who's done a terrific job. And he, when asked about this question, said, look, the only way that we're going to be able to move this thing is it's going to be extended Medicare so that we'll go down a couple of years. Eventually, when
right.
people come to their senses, I'm saying that. It'll be a year or two a year and then up from the bottom. And then finally they'll meet.
Mm-hmm.
But we already have universal health care in Medicare, but only for some people.
Right. And the age. 65 and up.
And we should discuss this at some point because some of the docs are getting very greedy and they don't want to take the Medicare rates. Good. I'm sure I'll hear from them.
All right. Nice. Well, we're out of time and you have another interview lined up in there, Alan, so we'll let you get to that. And we thank you very much for being with us. The roundtable continues after this short break.